Okay. So I am Ashley Kernan, known to some of you as Ashley Wentworth. And I thankfully moved up in the long list of residents, so I don't have to wait as long to get this over with. I am from North Andover, Massachusetts, and went to undergrad in Maine, and then medical school in New York, and then traveled as far west as I had ever been to come out here to residency. And next year, I'll be joining the Intermountain Bountiful Family Practice, and we'll be doing outpatient family practice as well as obstetrics, and we'll be delivering at LDS as well as Lakeview Hospital. My area of concentration for my third year was family planning, which leads very nicely into my talk for today, which is long-acting reversible contraception. There will be an emphasis on nulliparous patients as well as adolescent patients. I also do not have any conflicts of interest or disclosures. So why do I think this is an important talk? And why do I think that everyone here should be learning about this, even if you're not a prescriber? Because it's a real problem. I'm not going to read you my slides, and I'm not going to focus on my first bullet point that you'll see up there. I'm going to instead focus on unintended pregnancies and how to take care of our patients regardless of the choices they make, whether or not we agree with them. Half of unintended pregnancies result from either contraceptive misuse or failure, and half are due to non-use. But you will see up there that 82% of adolescent pregnancies are unintended, which I think is a very sad statistic. Unfortunately, our adolescent patients are the ones who are most likely to choose birth control methods that are unreliable and have high actual failure rates, so actual use failure rates. And unintended pregnancies have a negative impact on a woman's health, education, and possibly the health of their infant as well. They also, as you'll see up there by the numbers, a negative impact on the finances of the patient and our society. So since adolescents are most likely to choose these methods that have high failure rates, such as condoms and oral contraceptives, we have an issue with, you'll see the last point, the abortions. Unfortunately, approximately a half of unintended pregnancies end in abortion. That number is a little bit lower in Utah, but that's the national statistic. However, this is not just a problem elsewhere in the country. This is also in Utah. So in 2008, there were 6,790 unintended pregnancies in Utah. That ended in 820 abortions. So birth control. This is a very common chart that you'll see all over the place. Starting at the bottom of the chart, we have our least effective methods, such as withdrawal and spermicide, and we work our way up. So I think the category that most people are familiar with are the middle two. So condoms, diaphragms, oral contraceptive pills, the depot shot, the ring, the patch. But up on our top line, we see the most effective birth control methods that we have out there. We see our male and female sterilization procedures, vasectomy and tubal ligation, but on that same line you see IUDs and implantable devices. So this talk is going to be on that top line with the IUD and the implantable device. Those are long-acting reversible contraceptive methods, also known as LARC methods. I will not read you this slide. So this is so that you all have this, even if you are not someone who prescribes birth control. Some of you might have maybe a sister or a wife or a daughter or a friend who might want some more information about these methods, and I wanted you to have this in your slide set. But the long-acting reversible contraceptive methods are popular. In 2002, 2.4% of U.S. women were using one of these methods, and that increased to 8.5% only 7 years later. Unfortunately, our younger patients tend to use these methods less commonly, and we'll see later that's not because they don't want to use them. About 4.5% of U.S. adolescents will use a long-acting reversible contraceptive method, most commonly an IUD. So here are your two most popular intrauterine devices. I will talk about the new intrauterine device that just came out. On viewer's left, you have your Paragard IUD, which is your copper IUD. Those of you who haven't done anatomy for a while, that's the device open in the uterus with the applicator coming down. This IUD is approved for 10 years of use. It is a non-hormone method. The thing that patients need to be aware of is it can increase your bleeding and cramping with your periods, but some of our patients are very reassured by having their period every month, and you will continue to have your period with this method. Some patients also don't like the thought of having any hormones at all, and this is a nice method for that. It can also be used safely for emergency contraceptive within 5 days of unprotected intercourse with the intent that it will stay in place. Return to fertility after this is removed is complete and immediate. So talk about a woman and her partner having complete control over their fertility and being allowed to plan their family the way they want. On your right, you'll see the Mirena IUD, which is your progesterone-containing IUD. It's approved for 5 years of use, though I've heard some mumblings of them possibly extending that. Currently, the indication is for 5 years of use. The nice thing about this is that it will often decrease, if not completely eliminate, your period, which some women find very nice. You will see, again, open in the uterus with the applicator. The applicator is quite a bit different than that for the Paragard. And about 20% of women will have no period after 1 year of use. It is also approved to treat menorrhagia. And again, when you remove the IUD, your return to fertility is complete and immediate. So the latest, soon to see if it's really the greatest, is the Skyla, which is approved for 3 years of use. It's again a progesterone-containing agent. And the nice thing about the Mirena is that not only is the T size smaller than for the Mirena, so the Skyla is smaller than the Mirena in both the T size and the actual applicator diameter. So the applicator diameter that you need to get through the cervical os is a millimeter smaller. So they have found similar side effects with this as with the Mirena, but you also don't need to have the 6 centimeter sound depth that is required for a Mirena insertion. So this is a fabulous option for your nulliparous adolescent patients. Get them through high school without having a baby. The Implanon, now the Nexplanon. At first, I thought this was a ridiculous marketing gimmick for them to come up with the Nexplanon. However, for anyone who's ever dropped the Implanon on their shoe and not inserted it into the patient, you will love the new Nexplanon. It is absolutely foolproof. So it is approved for 3 years of use. It is also known for making your bleeding lighter, and some women will have amenorrhea. It can create some irregular bleeding, though, so patients need to be aware of that. It's placed simply in the office, and the nice part about this is it is approved for it to be placed without a pelvic exam if a woman has no symptoms. So if you have your teenage patient come in, 15 years old, mom and the patient can't even imagine putting this girl through a pelvic exam. She's never been sexually active, but they just want to plan ahead. They want her to get to graduation. She has no discharge, no concerns. You can put it in and spare this girl having a pelvic exam. Again, once this is removed, the return to fertility is complete and immediate. So if you don't use it, it doesn't work. I often tell my patients that birth control pills are wonderful if you actually use them as prescribed. If it sits next to your toothbrush all month, it's not going to prevent pregnancy. You have to take the pills. Same thing, if the condom sits on the bedstand while you're having sex, you're still going to get pregnant. So you actually have to use it. So do women like these methods? So I have several studies, and I apologize that the definition of adolescent changes in every study. But we have one study of 4,000 women, so a pretty good study, and continuation rates at 12 months for the long-acting reversible contraceptive methods, 86%, compared to only 55% for your short-acting methods. And you say, okay, well, fine, this study goes up to 45%. When they took out the women who are 21 years of age or younger, the continuation rate, 85%. So they will actually use them. And the nice thing is they looked at unintended pregnancies in these women, and the women who had a long-acting reversible contraceptive method were 22 times less likely to have an unintended pregnancy during the one-year follow-up time. They also looked at women in New Zealand. These were just adolescents, certainly a much smaller study, but adolescents nonetheless, and these women all had an IUD in place. 65% of them were nulliparous patients, and their continuation rate at 12 months, exactly the same, 85%. Expulsion rate was only 8%, and my favorite part, unintended pregnancies, 0. So the Choice Project. The CHOICE Project is a study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, an enormous study, over 7,000 women. And what they did is they took women who had no intention of getting pregnant within the last year, so women who were not planning on getting pregnant in the next year, who were either sexually active or planning on becoming sexually active within the next 6 months, and they offered them any birth control method free of cost. You pick what you want to use, what works best for you, we will give it to you for free. And what did women opt to do? They opted to pick long-acting reversible contraceptive methods. So not that small, less than 10% of the women in the country who actually are using them. So people really like these methods and want to use them. And the number of unintended pregnancies you'll see for the long-acting reversible contraceptive methods is markedly lower than for the short-acting methods. This is a graphic representation of what happened in the study. So on the top, you will see our long-acting reversible methods for women older and younger than 21, and those lines are awfully difficult to separate. However, on the bottom, you'll see your short-acting methods, which are the PPR methods, was their abbreviation they used, and you will see that those methods are markedly less effective. So these are survival curves that look at the probability of not having an unintended pregnancy. So the myths with IUDs. So women want these methods, yet they're not having them placed. And that's our job. They have to come in and have us place these methods. So why aren't they getting them? And I think it's because there's a lot of myths and misconceptions, thanks to our lawyers. So here, these are safe methods to be placed in adolescents. So the risk of PID with IUD insertion is 0 to 2% if there's no infection present at time of insertion. If there is an infection present at time of insertion that goes undetected, 0 to 5%. These methods are safe to place in adolescent patients. And even if you develop chlamydia after this is placed, as long as you appropriately treat the infection, there is no need to remove the device, and it does not increase your risk of PID. They do not increase infertility, and they can be very safely placed in nulliparous patients. That being said, you should be screening for STIs at time of insertion, so you do not need to test the week beforehand and then have them come back later. You can test at time of insertion, and then if it comes back positive, treat them. The expulsion rate is between 5 to 22% for adolescents, but you saw in that previous study it was about 8%, and prior ectopic pregnancy is not a contraindication. Nexplanon does have some secondary benefits. Because it decreases your bleeding, you'll see less anemia in these patients. It decreases dysmenorrhea and pelvic pain, and it does not have the same bone mineral density effects that the depot does. Just because it's a progesterone agent in your arm does not have the same side effects as the depot. It also does not have the same adverse weight effects. In depot, you can see a pretty substantial weight gain. You do not see that for the Implanon nor the Nexplanon. I will torture you all and read my last slide to you because it is the crux of my talk. If you remember nothing else, I beg that you remember this last slide. This is from the American College of OBGYNs. It was released in October of 2012. With top-tier effectiveness, high rates of satisfaction and continuation, and no need for daily adherence, long-acting reversible contraceptive methods should be first-line recommendations for all women and adolescents. Thank you for your time.